Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. We are back in our Father's Word, Book of Deuteronomy. The law given in kind of lay terms by Moses, not a repeat of the law, that is to say a new law, but bringing it down in lay terms whereby we can understand it with clarity. And in the closing of the last lecture, in chapter 16, verse 2, we found that Passover is, and you'll celebrate it wherever God placed his name. And then we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, and found out that Christ became our Passover. And where did God place his name? Yeshua, that is to say Jesus in the Hebrew. Yeshua is Yahweh, his name, the Savior. So he placed his name in that Passover that you're to partake of. If you want his blessings, that's entirely up to you. But you will always remember that. And wherever Christ is, then there is that Passover. Okay, so then we go with chapter 16, verse 3, a word of wisdom from our Father. We pick it up with that thought. Verse 3 reads, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. This is concerning Passover. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread. Therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. It's something you're not supposed to forget, that slavery, that bondage. And the fact that when God delivers you, you want to be ready to move. And quite frankly, the true bread that we always partake of is the body of Christ. And why do we leave the leaven out? Well, when they left that night and they departed by night, when you make bread, you put in the yeast and it takes time for the dough to rise. And though it's very good, but when it's time to move with God, you don't have any delay, no delay time. Therefore, it is symbolic of sin, traditions of the world, and other things that can slip into your life through leaven. It'll leaven the whole lump if you allow it. So therefore, at that time, especially when we're taking the Lord's table, which is to say his body, the bread of life, then it is unleavened. Verse 4. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh, which thou sacrificest the first day at even, remain all night until the morning. And of course now, naturally, blood sacrifice is done away with. We sacrifice our love. Our love for who? The place God put his name, Yeshua. Verse 5, thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, he's going to appoint the place. Verse 6, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. When was that? It never changes. It's the same every year. If you're a child of light, you use the solar calendar. And the spring equinox starts at the spring equinox. The new year starts at the spring equinox. 14 days later, as the day goes, then at sunset begins the 15th day, and that begins the Passover, a very special day. It will fall on different days of the week, but it is always the high Sabbath of Christianity. It never changes. The spring equinox will always, on our calendar, hit either March the 20th or 21st, most prominently the 21st. And the sun is accurate. The moon is not. All prophecies given concerning months or moons is of Satan. And all prophecies given of days is of God's children. So which calendar do you go by? Naturally, the calendar of the light, sun, solar. Anytime you do documentaries and you travel the ancient roads, anytime you come to ancient writings, you always find a calendar that is soltus, which is to say of the sun, not the moon. So you never forget that. You always keep it. Verse 7, and thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents. You will return back to your booth, the skut. Now, what about this? What place does God choose? Well, he told you. It's where God's word. Yeshua, that is to say, Yahweh's Savior, is also the living word. And where the living word is taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And it is the food that you partake of. It is the bread that you partake of, except for three times a year. It is the living word. That word strengthens you. It blesses you. It guides you, directs you. All this brings down God's blessings in your life. And how wonderful it is to be blessed by the hand of Almighty God. Verse 8, 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. That would be, in the seventh day, it would be another Sabbath from the high Sabbath. So there you have it. There is a great deal of prophecy even in that. What is a sabbatical year? Well, it's the seventh. When we figure that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years with man, how long is 6 days with the Lord? 6,000 years. Well, how many years were there up until Christ? Well, roughly say 4,000. Well, how many years have there been after Christ? Well, that's two more. That's six. And then we go into that sabbatical year of the Lord, which is the millennium, 1,000-year period. So we have reached, basically, that 6 days with the Lord. So we're in the generation of the fig tree in which you want to expect things to happen. You want to be alert. You want to be awake. And you want to know where your Passover is. You want to know where the Lord's name is. It's in Yeshua, Yahweh's Savior. Now we start the second great feast. And this is how it is determined. It will be the day of Pentecost. Verse 9. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from the such time as thou beginnest to pluck the sickle to the corn. In other words, it's the green corn time. That's what that would be time for 7 weeks from the time of Passover, which is the green corn time, green ear time, as most would call it. Now, what is 7 times 7 then? That's 49. Well, what follows 49? 50. What does the word Pentecost in the Greek tongue mean? 50th day. And it was that 50th day on Pentecost that the cloven tongue, that is to say the very Holy Spirit himself, spoke through the children of God, both the handmaidens and the sons, old men and young men. Verse 10, and thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a free will offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Now, it's important that you absorb that. According as the Lord hath blessed you. If the Lord hasn't blessed you, you don't owe anything, basically, is what it's saying. You know, many times, why do you say that? Well, there are many different peoples will take senior citizens that are approaching those dawn of the days. And they try to talk them into, you want to buy your way into heaven. They don't use those express words, but that's what it all amounts to. Make a loan. You can't borrow money to pay something God is for a blessing that didn't happen. Okay. You can't ever borrow money to make a gift to God, because you only give from the blessings God gives you. I say that to steer people away from trying to rip off senior citizens to try to use their income, their savings, to help build something great new that God will be so proud of that you will probably enter eternal life. That won't get you into eternal life. Loving Him, loving our Father will, but building something won't. Okay. So don't be conned. And you know, if somebody feels really led and convicted of God to help build a certain thing, fantastic, go for it. But if you're on a fixed income and barely getting by, don't you ever let anyone talk you into giving you something if God hasn't blessed you. That's my point. Verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant, you all participate, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, that your priest, the traveling priest that have no inheritance, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. That means Christ is open to everyone. And how many days is that? It's 50 days from Passover on the solar calendar. And on the solar calendar is a very simple calendar. You take the 15 days from the spring equinox, the new year, up to Passover, and then add 50 days seven times. Seven times 50 is 350. Adding 15 to 350, you have 365 days of a solar calendar. It also helps you to know and understand when the feasts come by. Because these feasts, and there will be three of them, they're very important. This is why we take communion three times a year publicly, because you are supposed to take communion as often as you gather, and they gathered three times a year at the commandment of Almighty God. You can take communion whenever you're sick, when you need it, or as often as your so-called church may give it. But do not let it become a ritual that takes away from the beauty of the bread of life. But all were to participate that believed. Verse 12. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. And thou shalt observe and do these statutes. And it is not that commandment, but a statute. And it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. 13. Here we go with the third. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in the corn of thy wine. 14. And thou shalt rejoice in the feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. If they are within your gates, if they are believers, they celebrate. 15, 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase. Don't miss that. You do this and the Lord thy God will bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. And it is a blessing to be in the will of Almighty God and to know that He is blessing you and blessing what you do, because you do it unto Him. Verse 16, listen carefully. Three times In a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. And so it is that our Heavenly Father is so good and so kind. And again, I want to reiterate, that's why that communion, this is why Jesus said, how often should we do this? Is it often as you meet? Which was three times a year, that you appear before the Lord in the place where his word is taught, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, set aside where Yeshua is. You don't have to be only be spiritually inclined and use that spiritual discernment. You know where Christ is. You can feel him through the Holy Spirit. If he is in an organization, if he is in a ministry, or wherever he is, if wherever God's word is taught, if it's blessed, then you will be blessed. If it is not blessed, most likely you will not be. If you participate in the inner core and are responsible with that ministry. So, blessings are an individual thing, but when you became a part of something, you become a part of it. But here are these three times. You know, on the solar calendar of old, when they went by the solar calendar, and they did, in the autumn equinox, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles was determined where the new civil year. Now, I didn't say the new year, but the new civil year is what it is called, begins when the sun came over the Mount of Olives, when it shined directly through the east gate, directly up the temple steps, through the entrance, and right to the Holy of Holies, through the door, and shine directly on the ark. Then that began the new civil year by the solar calendar. If, after 7 days of feasting at the Feast of Tabernacles, if the sun did not quite arrive at that point, a day was added. It corrected the calendar by solar. And it was extended one day, and bang, the day that it centered, then that began the new civil year. And, of course, again, overall, 7 times 50 being 350, adding the 15 days to Pentecost, and you have your 365-day year. Well, you know, our Father doesn't leave anything out. And with him, if you're a child of light, and you might remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it said, of the time and the season you need not, for you're a child of light. Meaning you know and understand. You're in the day, as God extended the day whereby we have the victory, so has he at this time, that we have that light and we have that truth, and so it is. These feasts, as nearly as possible, and that three times of the year, partaking of the Lord's table, the unleavened bread, and the wine symbolic of his blood that cleanses and washes away all sins. Verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. That's really simple. It's only fair. In other words, as God has blessed you, that's how you give. Verse 18. Judges, and here we're going into discipline and civil order in the nation. I want to say that again. We're going to discipline and this is how you keep civil order in the nation. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, that's where the judge takes place, judgment, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. In other words, it's got to be impartial, it's got to be fair, it's got to be upright, and it must be just. Don't you, if you get a bad, in this nation, most judges are elected. If you get a bad one, get rid of him. You don't, God will not tolerate a bad judge. Verse 19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Don't you try to take judgment away from our people. Thou shalt not respect persons. You're not going to be play favorites in your court. Neither take a gift. You better not be bribed. For a gift or a bribe doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. In other words, money is the root of evil. It sure can be. And how can you make a proper judgment if you're the type of person that would take a bribe? If we have a person that takes a bribe, get rid of him. We don't need them. And that's what keeps justice perfect in our nation. That's what keeps discipline, and that's what keeps order. And anytime you have a judge that plays favorites, it's real simple. Get rid of him. You don't need him. Elect him out of office and put somebody in that is righteous and just. Christians sure make good judges when they're a true Christian. That is to say, if the name is there, well, what name is that? Yeshua. Okay. He said, where my name is, that you can pretty well trust that if they're honest. But don't have somebody there carrying my name that will be impartial to people, a respecter of people, or will take a bribe, or is just a crook. Then don't put my name on such junk as that. Get rid of them. And that's the way you keep true justice and order in our nation. Verse 20. You know, all this is just common sense. There's nothing deep about it. Verse 20. That which is altogether just shall thy follow, that thou mayest live and inherit. You got that word? Don't read over it. This is how you inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord only gives you what you can take care of. If the Lord were to mess up, which he doesn't, and give you more than you could take care of, or if you came into hand more than you could take care of, don't worry. Somebody's going to beat you out of it, rook you out of it, crook you out of it. You're going to lose it. Because you can't handle it. Therefore, you need to really think things through. Well, how do I do that? You do it God's way. It's called common sense and responsibility. And when you when you utilize common sense and responsibility, God knows He can bless you and you can handle more and more and more as you grow. And you can do it with kindness, with selectivity, as to doing blessings as God would require, and know how to follow those statutes and fulfill them. But the main thing is to inherit. Inherit means you receive. Well, I never receive anything. Well, then you're probably not following God. You're probably not following His word. That's what He's saying here. Follow my word and be blessed. 21. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. The word grove here is Asherah in the Hebrew tongue. It means where they went out in the spring and had orgies in the woods, okay, the groves, and practiced all kinds of religion, fertility acts. That's where the egg came from, okay? The egg rollers were symbolic of fertility. Or in the grove was quick like a bunny, and you get your bunny rabbit. Okay, all those things, traditions of men that slipped in to some, not all, but some of your so-called Christian churches, and they don't know it. Well, right away, you know something? Well, that's not a serious thing. Oh, then don't expect to inherit any blessings from God. Besides maybe some soothe, kind words to make somebody feel better for a little bit before they have to hit the pain of the world again. It's much better to have the blessings of God, the real thing. So don't build a place that detracts from God's altar anywhere near it, because that would take away from your inheritance. And that lets other beliefs and weird concoctions and traditions of men slip into the very would-be church that you attend. So you want to be real careful. That is to say, if you want the blessings of God. If you don't, hey, no problem. It's your buggy, you ride in it. Verse 22. Neither shalt thou set thee up in any image which the Lord thy God hateth. You mean the Lord hates? Of course he does. He's jealous, and vengeance belongeth to him. And, well, what is an image? It's anything that comes between you and God. It could even be your business. It could be some object that you spend so much time with it because it's your pride and joy instead of your heavenly Father. You don't want something to come between you and your Father. This has to do with fake images and many other things that people would work in from the groves, trying to move it right into the house of God, okay, which was an abomination. And boy, did he hate it. He hated it with a passion. And so it is that he does to this day. You know, he lays out how he wants you to relate to him in all honesty, to respect him. And he has a promise, I will bless you. And his blessings feel real good. His blessings are a delight to behold. It's well worth your time to take a moment and to understand the scripture and receive blessings rather than to wallow around out in the woods with some unknown identity, pulling away from true belief in God's word, which will never bring a blessing. Chapter 17, verse 1. I like to say that this is the law in simple cases. And many times you need to talk. There are cases that it will tell you need to go to a biblical or Levitical priest who is a student of the law. Because there will be some things come up that are too hard to understand. But make sure when you go to he who will decide the law for you or arbitrate it, that they are truly one who understands the law of Almighty God. And then you will get a fair and just arbitration of the situation. Now, to the simple cases of the law. Verse 1 of chapter 17. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or an evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. He wants the best you got, okay? He gave the best he had for you. He gave the only begotten Son on the cross. Without blemish. Verse 2. If there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant. In other words, if they're a covenant breaker, if they are evil and a disruptor. 3. And have gone and served other gods and worship them, even the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven. That's to say some angel worshiper. It's a sin to worship angels, okay, which I have not commanded. You bring something like that into your house and into your gates, then God's not going to be, he's not going to be happy at all. Verse 4. And it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, I mean very carefully, thoroughly, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel. In other words, you're going to put a stop to it. That's what, like earlier, the case of the judges. You get a bad one, get rid of him. Okay. Here it would be a little more severe of how they get rid, but today, you in Christianity, as in the old law, if your hand offends you, which we're all one many-membered body, you break away from it. You break away from that particular group that would decide to go astray. Don't have anything to do with them until they can clean up their act. Verse 5, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, that's the pavement or the place of judgment, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. And truly, there was a time. We'll go another verse or so here, and then we'll explain. 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. In other words, that could be just one person making his or her mind up that they wish somebody to be done away with. So you have to have proof. But God does believe in capital punishment for certain crimes. You will find murder is one of them when we get to the 19th chapter. So don't miss the next lecture as we pick up on it and we read the law, the simple civil law, and what how it should be treated in the eyes of Almighty God. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that he did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit moves. You got a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We do not judge people. God is our judge, and he does the judging quite well. And we appreciate him and just teach his word, discern who you should fellowship with, and through spiritual discernment, but never judge. God handles that quite well. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? Don't need the number. We can do away with it and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. God has time for you. He truly does. And he made you different than anyone else, as I've said many times before. Your DNA is different, your fingerprints are different, you're unique. But he does want you to love him. He loves you. He may not love what you do always, but he does love you. Return it and be blessed. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, from Newfoundland, we got Madeline. Pastor Murray, when a person is confirmed, does that mean that they become a Christian? Some people tell me it is so is, and some people tell me you don't become a Christian. I'm confused about it. I always thought it means you were a Christian. You become a Christian when you believe. And that's why in John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe upon Him should not perish, meaning go to hell. They're saved. Okay, it's simply to believe. But dedication and confirmation on one's own will, that is a conversion. Okay, we got Roots from Michigan. Pastor Murray, question is this true that in 2012 the world is coming to an end? There are people talking about this, and this event happens occasionally. You know, it's very possible that no one knows when the end of the world is coming. The only thing is, you're a watchman, you want to keep watching. But this Mayan calendar, it didn't document or claim that it was the end of the world, but the end of a period of time. I'll say that again. It only indicated that it was the end of a period of time and then moves into a new circle or orbit. And it has to do with an alignment of the planets, okay? What amazes me more than anything is, how did they have the knowledge to know the alignments of planets to that degree? And then we know that there was a lot of help that traveled the earth at that time and helped and taught. But don't get nervous about it. Don't worry about it. The main thing is, Christ returns at that seventh trump. But the main thing you want to be prepared for now is not the end of the world. But at the sixth trump, the Antichrist comes to earth. He's going to deceive a lot of people. I don't want it to be you. Kim from Germany. And I understand you watch by internet. Fantastic. It's good to have you with us. If I die before I could repent for a sin that I committed knowingly or non-knowingly, can I still go to the right side of the gulf? And am I on the wrong side of the gulf? An accident can happen so fast without time to think. I want to be on the right side with my granny, not the wrong side. I think you can rest pretty well assured. God says righteous acts cover a multitude of sins. So God doesn't wake up every morning and want to zap somebody that's trying to do what's right. And when you repent of all your sins and let Him know you love Him. And when we mess up, you've got enough righteous acts. I can tell the way you write that you've got enough righteous acts that it'll cover a multitude of sins anyway. You're going to go to the right side in paradise. You're going to be with Granny, all right? You can just about count it. If you'll hang in there like you're doing good. Steve from Pennsylvania. Question, I've heard you say that God created Jesus. I read John chapter 1, and it says the Word was God, and all things were created by the Word, Jesus. I also read in the books of John that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Haven't all three existed together from the beginning? I really don't know why you would say that I said that God created Jesus. I have made the statement concerning the polysyndant in Genesis 1 that the word "and" is the Spirit that moved. And as a matter of fact, back in chapter 1 of John, if you keep going, Jesus was with Him. Why? Because they're one, as you say. And that's what I teach. Carol from Wisconsin. Is it proper to display a Christian flag outside? I keep a lighted cross and an angel in my wildflower garden year-round. I do not want to disrespect this flag. May God bless the staff. If it's lighted, then it is well. Okay. Many times people wished the American flag to be present when the Christian flag is flowing outside as well. It means exactly what it says. It is a standard that says, first of all, that you're a patriotic American and that you are a Christ man, and that in the house is a house of God. You know, that's what the Christian flag represents. Pastor Murray, why do people see ghosts if people are in heaven or hell when they die? Well, there are evil spirits that traverse the earth, okay, as well as the Holy Spirit. For every negative, there's a positive. And there are evil spirits. They're not demons now. The word demon is kind of contrived by man. But the Hebrew is very familiar spirits or evil spirits. But we have power over all of our enemies, and all you have to do is order them away. Amber from Arizona. How do angels get to earth? In the book I just purchased, Discovering God's Natural Truth, it says angels' wings are actually the kind of vehicle they use to travel in. That confuses me because I thought they are around us always. I have read Ezekiel 1:4. Well, man was created in God in the angel's image. And man, Adam, didn't have wings. So, therefore, neither do angels have wings. And Jesus would say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, he didn't have wings either. Okay. So, and it is true that the vehicles that are described, as you have said in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, the color amber in the Hebrew manuscripts is highly polished bronze. So I'm not sure. Just don't be confused. They have vehicles to travel in. Why? The Ark of God was with them in the book of Ezekiel. But angels do not have wings. And angels, what does the word angel mean? It means messenger. If God wants to deliver a message, he can send one, yes. Thomas and Loretta from Mississippi. Thomas would like to know where to find the event where the old baker who died was seen walking the streets of Jerusalem. Thanks for loving us enough to teach the truth. Well, that's kind of you might say, speculation on my part from John chapter 5, why God made it appear that people came from the tombs or from the grave. It was people they knew downtown. And I only used the old baker because everybody liked his product, and they showed up, knew his face. And it was just an example of why Christ had that happen, to document that he had defeated death and that he gave life. One-time thing, that's it. Phyllis from New York. Is it okay to put out the nativity out for Christmas? It's okay. If always make hay while the sun's shining. Anytime that people are thinking Christ, then it makes it easier to plant that seed or to bring forth that point. Though it actually happened in September, the conception happened on December the 25th. And that's when the Holy Spirit actually began dwelling with us. Do you know how you can document that? That it became the day that Mary conceived. She rushed instantly over to her cousin Elizabeth, who was carrying John in her womb 6 months. And when Mary approached, John could feel, that baby in the womb could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he leapt in Elizabeth's womb. So that's when Christ really began dwelling with us. No problem. Ronald from California. I know what happens on the sixth trump. When the seventh trump sounds, that will be the coming of our Lord. My question is, when the Lord appears, will Satan still be trying to fool the godly and the saints? And I know that they will never be able to fool the saints that study our Lord's Word, scripture by scripture, verse by verse. I just want to know, while he's being cast out, a little confused. Now, when The moment that seventh trumpet sounds, Michael, as you go read in Revelation chapter 20, puts Satan in the pit, and he is bound there. And this binding is an interesting word in the Greek. It means that not him, his spirit, his evil spirit, not any part of him can come escape that abyss until the end of the millennium, that short season at the end. Interesting word, meaning during the millennium he will absolutely have no effect whatsoever over peoples. Gil from Ohio, you're so welcome. I enjoy your teachings. Proverbs 17:18, a man void of understanding striketh hands and becomes surety in the presence of his friend. What does surety mean? I look it up and it means guarantee. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Well, first of all, let's take the man first. A man void of understanding means he's a little on the stupid side. And when you shake hands, that was a contract. You stood good for somebody's debt. You guaranteed that if they didn't pay the debt, you would. And so that's the way you get hooked. And the guarantee is a proper word in that case. A handshake is signing a contract. You know something? To a Christian, it still is to this day. If a Christian gives his word and shakes on it, you don't really. You should not have to have a piece of paper. Naturally, you have no choice but to do that because we've got too many people going around wolves in Christian clothing, and so it's best to keep it legal steagal. Okay, but when you get to know a true Christian, you can take their word. It's like gold. Okay, we got Elaine from South Carolina. I have a word to ask of you. If my children believe in the Lord, and if my child, and he died on the cross and went back to heaven, will they all be saved? If they're believers, they will be saved. You want to set the good act for your children, and I'm glad that you do. That's wonderful. But I see that you have a son that had a driving accident, and he always, well, it's, you know, when believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about that child, dear mother, and you have set the example that they followed, and that is good. And the old proverb of you raise a child in the way of the Lord, and they will not depart. They'll always come back to it. And we're not to judge anyone, but you've set an example, and if they believe, they're in good shape. Mary from Louisiana, what race of people are the Kenites? Well, if you take the word Kenite and understand what it says, you know what race it is. Kenites means sons of Cain. That's what the Hebrew word means. And being the sons of Cain, then they are the children of Cain, the first murderer. And this is what having the mark of Cain means exactly that. It's the mark of a murderer in certain instances. But even a Kenite can be saved if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Even they can repent of any sin they might have and find salvation. And so it is. They are a race of people. They are with us. They are all down through in God's Word. You can follow them. They are the tares taught of Christ, taught of by Christ in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the tares. And who planted them? The Satan planted them. He's their father. In John 8:44, he says, "You are of your father the devil, the first murder. And that's why they're... Overall, their own nature is not all that high, but they can be converted. Jose from California, how often should we take communion without offending him. Well, today's lecture was a good time for that. He says three times a year you will come together before the Lord, and you will partake of Passover, which is to say his cup, his table. The unleavened bread and the wine are grape juice, whatever your preference, to wash away your sins. But with the bread, he took the stripes and we get the healing. It is a wonderful thing, and three times a year it should be done. That does not offend him. And I do not wish to offend any church that takes it every week. It's simply the reason I don't like to do that is the highest thing of Christianity becomes a ritual. And I think it takes away from it. But you look forward to it three times a year. Now, if one is ill, give them communion. Under stress, give them communion. But as a group, three times a year is, I feel, sufficient. That is my opinion. That is, Christ orders to take it as oft as you meet, and they met three times a year. Okay, we've got, don't know who we have here. We have Linda from Ohio. Okay, I lost my son in a motorcycle accident at the age of 22 years. I would like to know where in the Bible I can find a verse to comfort me. I know he knew the God, although he didn't practice going to go to church. He was brought up in the church. Thank you for your program. It is wonderful. I've watched you for a long time. Well, God bless you. You know, we're not to judge, and he's no doubt is in good shape. But I always like to, as a comfort, is I like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And to know that God's in charge. God's in control. And he always helps his own. He will never, as it's written in Hebrew, the 13th chapter, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And if he loved God, he did not forsake him. Richard from Vermont, would you please tell me where I can find scripture that shows Joseph of Arimathea as Mary's uncle, or is it written in history? If so, where and how might I get written proof to show friends, family, and so forth? Thanks, Richard from Vermont. Well, it's naturally he was kinsman redeemer. He was the one that was close enough kin that he could reclaim the body of Jesus Christ. That in itself, if you understand the law, biblical law of kinsman redeemer, I would recommend you use that. But it is history. We have a little booklet called The Traditions of Glastonbury. Or you can go to Glastonbury, England. They still sing the song of Joseph the Tin Man, who brought that young lad with him to Glastonbury, where he had 10 minds. And pretty well you can find the truth there. We show a documentary this time of the year occasionally that's Traditions of Glastonbury. Perhaps you'll catch it. Ray from California, please explain how a spirit can make a footprint in a rock. Well, a spirit couldn't, but if it has its spiritual body hooked to it, you know, we were made in the image of God and the angels. And when you partake of manna, that's angels' food. What sustains that body sustains a flesh body. And they are so near alike that the spiritual body can impregnate a woman in the flesh body. Okay, that's pretty close. Made in the exact duplicate. That's the word phantom can even be utilized, where God said, let us create man in our, the plural, our image, meaning God and the children. And so we are. That's why it left a footprint. I have seen that footprint. We have made a plaster of that footprint. And there are many other things that document that in the first earth age, God still rules supreme. Mike from California, where in the Bible does it say to pay your bills? Well, it says in 1 Timothy, is it chapter 4 or 5, verse 8, a man that will not feed and protect and pay the bills of his own family is worse than an infidel. Okay. And it would just be kind of, where does the Bible say you should pay your bills? That's called responsibility. And you don't even need the Bible for that. Let me tell you something, Bill. Mike, rather. If somebody comes up to you and they, let's say they borrow your car. And you say, well, sure, you can drive her off down the road there a ways. And they just keep going and say, thank you, Mike. I don't pay my bills. Thanks for the car. You know, it's really kind of one-sided, isn't it? So, doesn't really make good sense. You know why? It's not a good sense question. You always have to pay. You have to take responsibility for your actions, or you end up in trouble in more ways than one, and you would never amount to a hill of beans. All right? Now, I'm out of time again. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. He does. And when you study those chapters, his letter to you, it makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. Now, we are brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we have helped you, and only if we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God, he will always, I do mean always, bless you. But you know what? There's one thing much more important, and it's this, that you stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, his name, it is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here